Grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 17th chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. And we find ourselves in week, I think, 4 or 5 out of 7 on the job description for a pastor. In 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to that pastor Timothy, second chapter, he talks about Paul calls him my son. And it's clear that the work of ministry goes from Paul to Timothy, and then he tells Timothy to pass it on to the next generation. That's kind of what ordination is. And then Paul uses 3 metaphors to describe the work of Timothy. Metaphors are used to engage the mind, perhaps engage the emotions, emotions which are given to us by God. Like a lot of things, emotion can be good or bad, moderation all things. Actually, the first one is a simile. He talks about suffering as a good soldier, suffering like a soldier. And in this respect, Paul's saying that the office of the pastor is like being a soldier. And things like know your enemy, things like be willing to fight, things like pick your battles, not all things are as important as other things. These things are part of the vocation of pastor, being a good soldier. Stick to your calling, he says, not to civilian affairs, I think is the translation there. It means don't get involved and distracted by things like business and politics. Stick to your work, your vocation, which is to be a pastor, not those other things. Then he talks about an athlete, another metaphor, and an athlete competes. An athlete plays to win. An athlete does his best. An athlete plays by the rules. And Paul tells these things to Timothy, the pastor. And finally, he talks about being one who works the soil, like a farmer or a vintner or a gardener, a person who takes care of an orchard. Paul tells these things to Timothy, the pastor. It's like being a farmer taking care of your crops. And finally, he says that God gives you understanding. God gives you understanding. And that word for understanding there, it's kind of a rare word. It means putting everything together in your mind. And this means drawing on all the fields of study and research and knowledge, drawing on all those things and putting those things into your mind and having a good understanding of God, creation, and people. Recall, he says, Jesus, who is risen from the dead, who came from David, who was the Messiah. And Paul tells Timothy that he preached the gospel. Preach the gospel, Timothy, like you heard me do. Preach the gospel, that good news that Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins. And when Paul did that, preached the gospel, what did he get for his trouble? Well, he says, I'm wearing chains like a prisoner. He's in prison. But, he says, the good news, I'm in prison, but the word of God is not fettered. The word of God is not chained. Apparently, Paul was doing some preaching of the gospel in prison. In fact, Acts says he's doing that. Why does he do that? His words. For the sake of the elect, that's you and me, that they may obtain salvation in Christ Jesus with its eternal glory. That's why you do what you do. That's why you preach the gospel. Get people into heaven. He sounds disappointed, doesn't he? Jesus. When he says to the man standing in front of him, he says, we're not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Yeah, he sounds a little bit disappointed, doesn't he? Maybe surprised. Maybe even a little bit confused. Yeah. Where are the other 9? Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? These days, we call leprosy a bacterial disease. It is, and it can be easily treated with antibiotics, but not everybody has access to what is very commonplace to us, And you can find leprosy these days in some parts of some third world countries. Uncle Stan was in the Middle East. I guess Dad said he was in Iran during the war. And when this lesson came up in Sunday school, he would tell us about the lepers, and he would be very graphic. And he gave us the heebie-jeebies. We didn't want to have leprosy. Not a good thing. As far as diseases go, leprosy is a very ugly disease. And historically, it has been greatly feared because it causes visible disfigurement and disability. It was incurable and was commonly believed to be highly contagious. And it's not. And I don't think we have any more leper colonies because of that. That's where lepers would be quarantined. But they didn't know in the time of Jesus. They didn't know it's not contagious, and so they did that. They often quarantined the lepers to keep them away from other people. And if they were not quarantined, then people avoided them like the plague. It was not a feel-good to be a leper. Very hard on your social life, among other things, to be a leper. And more out of habit than anything, I suppose, the 10 men stood at a distance, it says. And it also says that they met Jesus. That's a rare verb, to meet. We only find it one other time in the New Testament, and it's in the active, not the passive voice. That means they're doing something. And how do you do that? How do you meet somebody while standing at a distance? What this means is that these men knew that Jesus was coming. Jesus was something of a big deal. And they had very deliberately determined that they were going to encounter him. And they did, but from a distance. Maybe they just didn't want to scare him off. They cry out in a loud voice. And that's the singular voice there. We would say with one voice they cried out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And they know his name. And they call him Master. It doesn't mean the word that's usually rendered Lord. It's somebody who has authority over somebody else, or in this case, something. These 10 men seem to think that Jesus has authority over their disease. And they appeal to his compassion. Have mercy on us. And what they're not saying is that we are somehow deserving of the healing, or that it's not fair that we have leprosy and nobody else has. Mercy, that's all they want, mercy, which is kind of what we do here on Sunday morning, ask for God's mercy. And he heard their voice, and he looked at them standing at a distance, and he commanded them simply to go and show yourselves to the priests. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And they would have known what that means. One of the job descriptions that Paul does not include in his letters to Timothy is checking for pustules. Pustules. It was in the job description of an Old Testament priest. Pustules. The Old Testament says that if a person is thought to have leprosy, that person should go to the priest who would look for pustules. One of the least attractive symptoms of this unattractive disease, and if he found pustules, then he would declare that person unclean, and these men had been declared unclean. And if a person who had been so declared thought that he was healed, the priest had to check it out. And if the person was pustule-free, then the priest would pronounce that person clean. And they must have been giddy with excitement, these 10 men. Why else would Jesus tell us to go and show ourselves to the priests except that our pustules have left the building? And sure enough, on their way to go see the priests, they were all healed. And it doesn't say how long they were gone or how far they had to go to find priests, but probably not very long or very far. Priests were as common in that time and place as grain trucks were this time of year around here. What must have felt to them like an albatross was lifted from each of their necks. Talk about a life-changing event. Talk about a life-changing event. You have this ugly, incurable disease. You're ceremonially unclean, and then it's healed and it's gone. No more unclean. no more unattractive, no more social pariah, and body parts would no longer atrophy and fall off, nor would the skin be in a constant state of peeling. Maybe these former lepers could even get a job. And having a wife and family was now a possibility. And if you wanted to run down to Dollar General or Barnes, you could just go ahead and do that. Yeah, life changer. And each of them, in that moment of realization that their lives had been greatly changed for the better, when they saw, what did they do? They kept on walking. That's what they did. Each of them, they just kept right on walking. The man healed their leprosy, and each of them just kept right on walking. That's what they do. I know a guy whose son was born with a heart defect, serious business. And that guy knew a guy who knew the guy who was the best pediatric cardiology surgeon in the world. Dr. Behrendt it was, at C.S. Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the parents took that child to that surgeon. And the surgery was very successful. The child survived and he thrived. And do you suppose those parents were thankful for that doctor? And do you think they maybe even went out of their way to tell that doctor how thankful they were to him? And don't all of us thank our doctors when they fix what's broken on us? And even if they don't fix it, we thank them for giving it their best shot. Not these guys. The man healed their leprosy, and they kept on walking. Crazy. Crazy, huh? Just kept on walking. Except for that one. Except for that one who didn't. Except for that one who did what most people would consider the normal thing. Somebody heals you from a disease like leprosy, you're going to be thankful to that person, and you're going to go out of your way to acknowledge and thank that person. What the one did, that's normal. And he was a Samaritan. And he was a Samaritan. What the nine did, or did not do, was abnormal. Crazy. Now this text is appointed for this Sunday in year C. It's also appointed for a day of Thanksgiving. And a couple years ago, on the evening before that National Day of Thanksgiving, we ran the numbers. If you were here, you might remember. We ran the numbers, and on any given Sunday morning, about 1 in 10 Americans is acting normally. 9 people are acting abnormally on any given Sunday morning. Only one acting normally, returning to a place where you go to give thanks to God for healing you. We ran the numbers. And if you run the numbers, about 1 in 10 Americans will be in church today or on any given Sunday. That's 10%, 10% on any given Sunday. And in that regard, Americans are better than most of the European Christians who are mostly in single digits, but not doing as well as the Irish and the Poles, around 80 or 90% in church on Sunday morning. And it looks like the Irish are increasingly finding other things to do on Sunday morning. They're becoming Americanized. And most Americans will tell you that if you make them say a religion, most Americans will say that they are Christian. We've talked about the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, who are answering the question about their religious affiliation. Will say none. They don't believe in organized religion, the nuns. They don't believe in church, but they often consider themselves to be spiritual, and they seem to like Jesus, and they seem to like the Christians, just not Christian religion. They don't generally go to church. And why are these 9 out of 10 not going to church on any given Sunday? Well, there are lots of reasons why people don't go to church on any given Sunday morning. There are lots of reasons for not going to church, and I know people who don't go to church because their church has abandoned Orthodox Christianity. Sometimes their churches don't seem to believe anything about anything, and who wants to spend Sunday morning listening to that? Other reasons for not going to church on a given Sunday are not good. Not good. And cutting off your nose to spite your face is never a good thing. And the people who didn't like the previous pastor often don't like the current pastor. And after a while, you got to wonder if, but you are today among the 1 in 10. So that's probably enough about the 9 who are not here, the abnormals. Today you are normal. We talk about justification. We talk about justification. It's the idea that we stand before God righteous, justified. And we kind of divide justification into 2 categories, and I kind of see them in the text here today. We talk about objective justification. It's the idea that Jesus died on the cross for all the sins of all the people of all times, all places, including like people like Hitler, including people like Stalin, Osama bin Laden, Chairman Mao. Jesus died for all their sins. But none of those people, I don't think, went to heaven. Stalin and Hitler were baptized, but they seem to have abandoned their baptism. So we talk about subjective justification, the idea that to get the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross, you believe. And you believe through the word. You believe through the word added to elements like baptism and the sacrament of the altar, the word added to water, added to the bread and wine. That's subjective justification, that you believe in Jesus, and so therefore you go to heaven. And reading through this account, it's hard to tell who is a Christian, because sometimes all 10 of them act like Christians. It's hard to tell which one of them are Christian, except for the one. Except for the one who clearly is a Christian, to whom Jesus says, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." And that guy, it sounds like Jesus is thinking, that guy, he's a Christian. Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. And how tragic that those others who were healed but kept on walking, if they were Christians, how tragic that they didn't hear those words of Jesus. I don't think anybody here has ever had leprosy. We do know what it's like to be sick, whether that's the common cold, the flu, cancer. There seems to be a lot of cancer out there. The biographer of cancer says that there's more cancer because one of the reasons we live longer and aren't killed anymore by the diseases that used to kill us before we were old enough to get cancer. That's a problem. Physical disease. And when we get sick, we cry out to the one who has power over all disease, asking for his mercy. In fact, no less than 4 times today, at the beginning of the church service, we prayed, "Lord, have mercy." And we do a lot of that here, taking our lead from those 10 lepers who did not possess any claim to righteousness or justification of themselves, but only asked for mercy. Yeah, physical disease, that's a problem. Not nearly as bad, though, as the spiritual problem that we have. That is the disease of original sin that we inherited from our parents, that sticks with us all the days of our lives, that causes us every day to sin in both thought, word, and deed. Sins of commission, things we do. Sins of omission, things that we don't do. The things that Jesus died on the cross to take away, those sins. And believing in Jesus, we have forgiveness and the everlasting life that comes with us. And to you who believe those things, Jesus says this day, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.